Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored for Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Rivka Zisel, B'Sech Shar Chol Yisrael, Shem Refuah Shleima. Thank you for that, and thank you for anyone who was mishtatef in the Chanukah present. It's greatly appreciated. Just a couple of announcements before we continue. Next week I am told that there's some type of an event for JFS. A lot of people have off from work next Tuesday as well. I'm not sure if that makes it easier for people, harder for people. Maybe let Mrs. Goldschmidt know if we should have a class or not. I don't know how many people are planning on going. It's a tremendous organization, a great organization. You'll let me know. I am available to give the shiur as of now. We'll be in touch in regards to that. Secondly, last week we took a vote in regards to what topic we would learn after we finish Bishul. Today's the last class on Bishul. The vote that won was to continue with the Lamates Malachos over the Lachos of Brachos. The topic of Hilchos Tefillah was raised, perhaps to do it at night on the phone. As of now, I don't think I don't think the timing would work out to do it at night. The question is if perhaps people would be interested in taking. My estimation would be approximately 4 weeks, four Tuesdays, in regards to the halachos of tefillah, as far as what women are, for women specifically, what women are obligated to daven, shachar, mincha, ma'ariv, berchas ha'tayra, berchas ha'shachar, psukah dezimra, krishma, how much of krishma, berchas krishma, davening when there's a dirty diaper nearby, interruptions by davening, holding things during davening, if you forget to daven, making up davening afterwards, makam kavua, various halachos which I'm teaching now in Brooklyn in the New York Seminary. So those are notes that I already have. It would be my pleasure if you want to take 4 or 5 weeks for that as well. You'll let Mrs. Goldschmidt know. We have several other Lamates Melachos that still need to be done. Either way, it's up to you guys, whatever you decide.
Can I just mention one thing that you said you could do? You said you could once start a whole class on taking care of shaitels.
Right, I do have one class on halachos of taking care of shaitels. In regards to halachos of Shabbos, in regards to buying and cutting during Sfira and the 3 weeks, in regards to saying brachos when a person's hair is uncovered. We're not going to go into the halachos of men in front of women, I'm saying theoretically in that class, but we could include that in the halachos of tefillah, since it's halachos of brachos, davening without hair covered, making brachos. I know we were one time discussing benching licht in different situations. We would include that, if you'd like, in the Hilchos Tefillah. Right, also taking care of it on Shabbos, dusting a shaitel, combing a shaitel, spraying a shaitel, all those halachos, those are all in a separate share in the halachos of taking care of a shaitel. Okay, so for today, what we're going to do, today is the last class on Bishul. We had the schuss of learning Bishul for the past 7 classes. We conquered Bishul. I really feel we did a very good job altogether. I know that a lot of you are learning a lot of terms and coming to new halachas. Today, what we're going to do is give one massive chazara, one review on the halachas of Bishul. This way, when we walk away from the halachas of Bishul, we'll have clear as far as what is allowed to be done, what is not allowed to be done, what is a machlokes and could only be done in certain situations. Obviously, we're going to leave out a lot of the details that we spoke along the way. So if you're following along your notes, you'll have to find where I'm holding. We're going to skip a lot. Perhaps we'll add one or two things. But just to go quickly through what comes out practically, so we'll know for Shabbos. The first term, already we're going to skip the introduction and all that. The first term we discussed was the term of Michael Ben Drusoy. Ben Drusoy was the name of a certain robber that he needed to eat his food even though it wasn't fully cooked. So there was a machlokas, what is Michael Ben Drusoy? What is that level of semi-cooked? So he said it's either a third cooked or half cooked, and we have to take the stringency of both ways. If you cook something on Shabbos up until Michael Ben Drusoy, that already is Asur Medeiraisa of cooking. Also, to take a food that is Michael Ben Drusoy and to cook it further to fully cooked, we said that is also forbidden. Even to raise it being cooked even a little bit is not allowed, either Medeiraisa, Medeirabbanan, but that is, you can't cook to Michael Ben Drusoy and also for Michael Ben Drusoy to further. By liquids, we said that it doesn't really depend on Michael Ben Drusoy. It depends on what we call Yad Soledesbo. We are not going to get into all the details of what Yad Soledesbo is, but Rav Moshe Feinstein said that already at 110 degrees, you have to suspect that the liquid is Yad Soledesbo. From 160 degrees, you are able to be for certain that it is the level of Yad Soledesbo. And the same idea, we said that you're not allowed to cook something up boil something up to Yatzo Ledesbo, so too from Yatzo Ledesbo to fully boil to 212 degrees, or even to raise it even higher, is also not allowed. The details which and how this all plays out, we're going to see the term Yatzo Ledesbo many, many times. So that is Maichol Ben Jusoy for solids, which is either a third or a half cooked. And for liquids, we said it's Yatzo Ledesbo, which at already 110 degrees, perhaps is Yatzo Ledesbo. At 160 degrees, then we say for sure is Yatzo Ledesbo. In regards to cooking, besides cooking on Shabbos, is of course not allowed. You're not allowed to hasten something to cook. If you accelerate the cooking process, that is also not allowed. We said six examples of accelerating the cooking process, some of which we're going to skip. The first two we're going to skip now. And one example of accelerating the cooking process was to remove food or liquid from a pot. If the food is not fully cooked yet, and I remove some of the food or some of the liquid, then that accelerates the cooking process for the rest of the food or the liquid that remains. The only example that we're going to repeat right now is from an urn Friday night. If you have a hot water urn and you want to take some tea Friday night, so you have to make sure that the water in the urn is fully boiled, fully cooked. It's not going to get any higher. If you take out for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee on Friday night, then there is less food in the urn, then that accelerates because of course it's still plugged in, that accelerates the cooking, and if it's going to be raised, then that is not allowed. What we said from Moshe Feinstein, and for other reasons which we didn't get involved in, is that really preferably your hot water urn should be totally boiled as high as it could reach. It should be totally boiled before Shabbos, even preferably earlier, right, even as much as possible before Shabbos as you can. It doesn't have to be in the morning, but for sure at least a half hour before Shabbos, your hot water urn should preferably, Abshom Zalman Orbach said that for other reasons, and Moshe Feinstein, that it should be fully boiled before Shabbos. Another case was that accelerates the cooking is Hagasa, which means to mix the food, to mix the food. So if you have any pot of food that is not fully cooked, you're not allowed to go ahead and mix it on Shabbos. And you're not allowed to also scoop out with a spoon from any food that is not fully cooked. Because once you scoop it out, that is also mixing it. In regards to fully cooked food, let's say you take from chont Friday night or Shabbos morning, the chont, of course, is fully cooked. So we said, if it's fully cooked, then we said like this, if it's on the fire, on the heating element, so the Mishnah Berurah said that should still not be done. He brought that from the Elie Rabbah, that the Mishnah Berurah said that if the food, even if it's fully cooked, if it's on the heating element, you are not allowed to scoop out from that food. That is why when we take chont Friday night, we never take the chont out from when it's still in the crock pot, because that is on the heating element. It could be garuf and katum from today till tomorrow, but it's still on the heating element. If you scoop out from it, that is not allowed according to the Mishnah Berurah when it's on the fire. Therefore, what we do is we remove it from the heating element, you remove it from the blech, you remove it from the crock pot, then you're able to take out. We said that there's not clear if it's fully cooked and off of the fire. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to scoop out, but are you allowed to go ahead specifically and mix it? Meaning Shabbos morning, you're serving the chont by your suda Shabbos day. Of course, you take it out. You're not even going to put it back. You take the chont out of the crock pot, and then you take a look at the chont. Of course, it's fully cooked and it's off of the fire. Can I go to my chont and mix it before I serve it out into my bowl? Am I allowed to go specifically ahead and mix it? So now we said that Moshe Feinstein says technically perhaps it's mutter. It seems like the Mishnah Berurah says that preferably you should not do that. But either way, to take it out of the crock pot and to scoop it out and put it into the bowl, that we're saying is allowed. You're scooping it out, it's fully cooked, and it's off of the fire. But to go ahead specifically and mix it, that we said preferably you shouldn't. If you really need to, you can do it. That's a Rabbi Ribiat brought down from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, if you really need to, but preferably you shouldn't go ahead and specifically mix it, but you definitely are allowed to scoop it out. So skip all that. Another case was covering a pot, right? We discussed this as far as covering a pot. If you have a pot of food or liquid that is not fully cooked and it's uncovered, you are not allowed to cover the pot because there's cool air coming in. Now that you cover the pot, that keeps in the hot air, and now the food or the liquid that's not fully cooked, the cooking process is accelerated. Let's say it is fully cooked, which is the standard situation. It is fully cooked. So then we said, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you should not cover it, even though it's fully cooked. But if it's still very hot, and then you cover it, this is when it's on the fire. When it's on the fire, fully cooked, If it's uncovered, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that you should not cover it, even though it's fully cooked. We said many other places can say it is permitted. We said that therefore, preferably you shouldn't. Rabbi Rabbi Arosa said like that, that preferably you shouldn't. You should go with Rav Moshe Feinstein, that again, on the fire, fully cooked, you shouldn't cover the pot. We were discussing this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, as far as we discussed, we'll discuss it shortly, as far as if you want to heat something up on top of a crock pot. So you're allowed, the place can say, you're allowed to have the cover of the crock pot inverted. You're allowed to have it upside down. So wonderful, so I'm allowed to do that. But wait a second, if I go ahead and invert it now on Shabbos, which, of course, I'm inverting it on Shabbos, so I uncover it and I cover it. So if that is in the crock pot still, if the chont is still in the crock pot, which of course it is on the heating element, so then that would not be allowed according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Again, we have plenty of places to say that it is allowed. If you really need to invert the cover of your crock pot to heat, let's say, a schnitzel or a challah up on top of it, the best would be is to take the crock pot out. Of course, you hold on to it, you have in mind to put back, like all those conditions like we spoke about. Then you invert it, and then you put it right back, and then you could heat something on top of it.
Can you do these things on area 2 of the blech?
I'm sorry?
Can you do these things on area 2?
Area 2 will be the same halachas. The same halachas. Area 1 and area 2 are all the same. Very quickly.
I know this is a review, but why is it that you can't put it on the glass top of the pot instead of,
you don't have to. No, just you're afraid it's going to fall off. No, you don't have to. You don't have to invert it. You could put it straight. But if you're afraid it's going to fall off, you can't balance it. You want to invert it, so you're allowed to. Yeah, if you have a flat, then you won't have to. Right, if you have a flat, then you won't have to. Fine. We said similarly, based on this, this was example number 6, which is an offshoot of number 5, is closing the door to an oven that is on. Closing the door to an oven that is on. If you have an oven on Shabbos, we're going to have to discuss putting in the oven before Shabbos, if it's off, on Shabbos, but if you have an oven that is on, and you open up the oven door, and you leave something inside, because you're only taking out one thing, and you're going to leave the other thing on, if the oven is still on, you should not be closing the door to the oven on Shabbos. Now, if you open it, of course, you plan on closing it, so therefore, when you open it, you should take everything out if it's on, if the oven is on. Because now when you're closing it, this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein would be saying, that that is not allowed. I'm not talking about putting something in an oven on Shabbos. We'll get to that shortly. I'm talking about if the food is already there from before Shabbos. But you open it and you take something out, or you just open it and look inside. If you close it, that is the same as this halacha, and that should really preferably not be done. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, someone who was listening to the shiur on TonyTime.com, and she was also asking all these questions about the oven before Shabbos, on Shabbos. Fully cooked, not fully cooked, on or off. This is the halacha, that if you have food in the oven, even if it's fully cooked, if it's on, you should not have food in there when you close the oven door. Next, we went to reheating cooked foods, what we call bishul achar bishul. So we said the halacha is, we discussed many situations, what we discussed was that by a regular solid food, once something is cooked, then the halacha is it's not physically possible. We paskin that it's not physically possible to be cooked again. Therefore, even if it's totally cooled off, if it's a solid, you don't have to worry about cooking it again, because it was already cooked from before Shabbos. We said that we're machmir that we do not bake something after cooking, we do not cook something after baking. We'll discuss croutons and spices and soup, we'll get there shortly. But as far as food, solid foods, that you don't have to worry, you're allowed to cook after cooking because nothing gets any better to the food. In regards to liquids, we said that it is very different, and we kept on discussing this many, many times. By liquids, perhaps it is more strict, and that the reason is the following, very easy, that by liquids, if something cools off as a liquid, then the fact that it was once cooked is really useless now, because it just heats it up, and now if it's cooled off, so then the original cooking process is history, is gone. Therefore, we are machmer, and we say that if a liquid, soup, water, was nitzdana lagami, which means that it cooled off totally in a way that it no longer can be enjoyed as a warm drink, then we say that you are not allowed on Shabbos to go ahead and cook it again. We'll see some exceptions, but that would be considered cooking again if it cooled off totally. Fine. We'll leave it at that. Therefore, if you put, if you have tea, you have a cup of tea, and there's a little bit of tea left over at the end, and it's already cooled off, and it's not hot anymore, and now you want a second cup of tea. So that water that has cooled off can be cooked up again. Since that water on the bottom of the soup bowl, the bottom of the teacup, if it's a substantial amount, we'll discuss ladle separately, but if it's a substantial amount, since it cooled off, so then we say that is able to be cooked again, and therefore it is forbidden to add more hot water into it because you are now cooking it again. Fine. One thing which we said, which is could be a little bit tricky, which we went back and forth in different situations, is the following. We said by solids, you could go ahead and cook it again because it can't physically be cooked. But by liquids, we say that it does have the ability to be cooked again. So we discussed as far as soluble foods, as far as different powders, whether it's instant coffee or instant tea, salt and sugar, hot cocoa mix, pepper and garlic powder, all different types of foods that dissolve. So the halacha is that if it's going to go into a liquid, if you're going to put these into a liquid and water or chicken soup, so then that will give it the halacha of a liquid, since it dissolves right away into the liquid, so then it gets the halakhic status of a liquid. Most of the time, these things are going to be going into a liquid, so we'll get the halakhic status of a liquid. And therefore, even if it was cooked once in the factory, but if it goes into a liquid, then we say it has the ability to be cooked again. We'll see as far as leniencies and clichenies and things like that, but since it's going into a liquid, we say that that'll have the halacha of a liquid. Even though they were cooked once before, of course, they have cooled off, obviously. So, therefore, you have to be careful. By soluble foods that go into a liquid, that will have the halachic status of a liquid. So just for a perfect example is you can't take one of these soluble foods and pour it directly into your chicken soup pot. If you have a big chicken soup pot and everyone's telling you that the soup needs more salt, so you should not take the salt and put salt into the kli rishon if it's still hot, because this is the salt, even if it was cooked before, but it's putting it into a kli rishon, has a din of a liquid. Of course, the salt has cooled off since it was cooked in the factory, and therefore you're not allowed to put it directly into the soup pot, even if it's not on the fire, even if it's off of the fire, but since it is a kli rishon. Fine, we're going to skip that. Fine. Next, we went to kli rishon, kli sheni, and kli shlishi. Already, I think we did two or three shiurim from the halachas of Bishul. Kli rishon, kli sheni, and kli shlishi. We said very clearly, kli rishon is very simple. Kli rishon is the pot that the food was heated up in, but it's no longer on the fire. The chicken soup pot was taken off of the fire. The choned pot was taken out of the crock pot. The crock pot was taken out of the cylinder. The cylinder was taken out of the crock pot. That is a kli rishon, and we paskin that a kli rishon has the power to cook just as much as if it was on the fire. The kli rishon has the power to cook, so all the halachos of Bishul that you have to be careful on the fire, almost all the halachos, you're not allowed, you have to be careful with a kli rishon as well. A kli sheni is, well, before we get to kli sheni, so we discussed in regards to iri kli rishon, pouring from a kli rishon. So we said that we paskin that if you pour from a kli rishon on top of other food, that has the ability to cook kedei klipa. That has the ability to cook just the outer surface of the food, and that is also not allowed. You're not allowed to cook the outer surface of a food. Therefore, we said, if you have coffee grains or instant tea in a cup, you should not open up the urn and have the water go directly onto the coffee grains. That is iri kli rishon. Of course, this urn is a kli rishon. It's going directly on top of the coffee grains. That should not be done. That's what we call iri kli rishon, the soluble food, even though it was cooked before, but it's a soluble food that gets the din of a liquid. And you are now pouring directly from a kli rishon on top of those foods, and it's considered to have cooked the outside of the coffee grains. To pour hot water directly onto a slice of lemon, that is all not allowed. That is what we call iri kli rishon. One thing we did discuss, we didn't get into many of the details, but you have to be careful if you wash out a cup and then you want to use it for a cup of tea. You want to have a cup of tea or a bowl of soup, and you realize that it's a little bit dirty, so you wash it out, you go to the sink, and you just rinse it out. So you have to be careful that there isn't a lot of water left on the bottom of the cup, because then when you pour it into there, if it's iri kli rishon, then it'll be cooked when it lands, when it hits it. If it's just a little bit of droplets left, we the place can say that's not a problem, but there shouldn't really be anything, preferably not anything substantial, left on the bottom of a cup when you're pouring into it.
Let's say you have like a tin of chicken, which would be a kli rishon.
Okay.
If it's in the oven and you take it out, and then like you place the chicken on a platter, and if I want to take the liquid and pour it on top, am I allowed to do that?
So let's discuss, we're going to get that in a second, as far as dover gush. It's a very good question. When you're pouring something on top of a chicken is a solid. So the salad.
But it's liquid,
right?
You're talking about
the liquid from the chicken gravy. Let's say.
Oh, the liquid's in the bottom. Okay, so you have a salad and a liquid there, right?
Right.
So now, but it's still part of the kli rishon, right?
It's part of the kli rishon.
So yes, if you would pour things into that, it's considered as if you're pouring into a kli rishon. Yes, because of the liquid.
No,
they would
take
the other way, took the chicken
out of the pan, and they almost put the gravy from the pan onto the chicken on the plate.
She just couldn't move it into another bowl together. So she moved the chicken and then moved the gravy.
Oh, men.
She took the chicken out of the 9x13 onto a plate. Now she wants to take the gravy from,
the gravy from that pan and pour it on top of it.
The chicken.
Cooked together.
That they were cooked together. No, so then that's not a problem because the salad was totally cooked. You're pouring it on top of the chicken.
Yeah.
So the chicken was totally cooked. Once the chicken is totally cooked, we say ein bishel acha bishel. The salad can't be cooked again. But a salad, I'm saying the salad is what's getting.
Pouring the liquid on top of the salad.
That's not a problem because what would you theoretically be cooking? The salad chicken. Since the chicken was fully cooked before, so then ein bishel acha bishel. You're pouring on top of a salad. We say ein bishel acha bishel.
Very good.
Yeah, okay, no, that's a very good example. And now that I understand what you're saying, that's a very common situation, but that's not a problem because the chicken that's a solid cannot physically be cooked again. A klisheni is the following. Klisheni means that it's still hot, it's still yatzo ledesbo. If it's not yatzo ledesbo, you don't have to worry about anything. But if it's still yatzo ledesbo, but it's in a klisheni, it's not in the pot that it was originally cooked in, it was transferred into another place. Let's talk about liquids. The liquid is transferred to a second cup, a second bowl, something like that. We'll discuss later separately. So then we say that the only thing that has the power to cook is foods that are kale habishal, foods that are easily cooked. Now, which foods are easily cooked? So we said that we have lost the exact knowledge of what foods are easily cooked. Therefore, we have to suspect everything is easily cooked unless we know for a fact that it's not easily cooked. And the one example that we know for a fact that is not kali abishal, that is not easily cooked, is water. Therefore, if you have hot water in a klisheni, take from the urn, you pour it into a cup. Now this cup has hot water in it, and it's a klisheni. I am allowed, according to the letter of the law, I am allowed to put cold water, into even a little bit of cold water, an ice cube or something, into a hot cup that is a klisheni. My kids are complaining that their bowl of soup is too hot. I'm allowed to take an ice cube and put it into that bowl of soup. Now, we said that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, for him personally, he was machmir to always do kli shlishi. Don't rely on kli shenis, always do a kli shlishi. But Rav Moshe Feinstein himself admits that according to the letter of the law, Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and others, they say that in a kli sheni, water is permitted. So if you're not able to make into a kli shlishi, so then a kli sheni, you will be allowed to put water into a kli sheni. Because water is not kalei abishal. Another kula that we have by klisheni is that if something was once cooked before, even if it has the halachic status of a liquid, if something was once cooked before, you are allowed to put it into a klisheni. That the Mishnah Berurah says, you're allowed to put, so therefore, if you have coffee grains or instant tea or spices that was previously cooked in the factory, you are allowed to put that into a hot klisheni. So really you are allowed to take salt. So our salt was cooked in the factory. Even though it's cooled off and you put it into the chicken soup, it has a din of a liquid. But since it was once cooked before, you are allowed to put salt into a klisheni, a bowl of soup, a klisheni. I told you that I called some certain spices factories. Most of them said Kirkland and Prima and different spice factories that they said their spices are not cooked before. So then you would not have this leniency of putting into a klisheni, because perhaps it's kali abishal. We only have this leniency if it was once cooked before, and it's only maybe kali abishal, so then we say that you're allowed to put it into klisheni. But if you have spices that are not cooked before, then you would not be allowed to put it into klisheni, because those spices get a din of a liquid once it's soluble, and then you are not allowed to put it into a klisheni, because perhaps it is kali abishal.
So
pasteurized milk.
Which ones then? Which
most of them, salt is considered previously cooked, and sugar. Other spices, unless you know it was previously cooked, you have to assume that they were not previously cooked.
How do you know it was previously cooked?
Salt, we assume that our regular table salt is previously cooked,
but like
in the factory.
Spices, like
other spices,
or
probably not. As of now, probably not. All the phone calls that I made were told me not. Fine.
Instant tea is by definition cooked.
Instant tea is by definition not previously cooked. Instant tea should not be put into a klisheni. I don't think the instant tea was previously cooked, for sure not. So that should not be put into klisheni. Salt and sugar, we would say yeah, but instant tea should not be put into a klisheni, because perhaps it's kalei bishul. Quite possibly not even to a klisheni. We'll get to klisheni in a moment in regards to tea. Fine. No, we'll skip that. I'm not going to finish. Hold on, I'm going to have to hold off on questions till 10 o'clock, or maybe 10:30. Klishlishi. As far as Klishlishi, we said that Klishlishi is much more lenient, and therefore you're allowed to put anything into a Klishlishi unless you know for a fact that it is Kalei HaBishul. Rav Moshe Feinstein says anything's allowed in a Klishlishi. The only gray area was tea leaves, which perhaps instant tea is like that, perhaps not, but tea leaves, we said many paiskim, it seems like that way from the Mishnah Berurah as well, though it doesn't say explicitly, but it seems like tea leaves, besides the tea bags issue as far as Bora, that we discussed separately, but as far as the tea leaves itself, there are those that say that that should not be used even in a Kli Shlishi, because that is Kali Abishal, and even in a Kli Shlishi should not be used. Therefore, what the Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to have tea, the Mishnah Berurah says you should make tea essence before Shabbos. We're going to leave that for now, even though that's a major topic. As far as Dover Gush means a solid. If you have a solid that is transferred from a Kli Rishon into Kli Sheni, which was your perfect example of a chicken transferred into a Kli Sheni, so then let's say you have other water that, or other spices of food that was not cooked up like the water, so then we say that by a Dover Gush we have a Chumrah, the Mishnah Berurah brings a Chumrah, that you should consider the solid food still in the Kli Rishon, even though it was transferred to a Kli Sheni and to a Kli Shlishi and a Kli Revi. It doesn't make a difference, since it's a solid, we say it doesn't have the cooling walls and therefore it does have the power to cook other foods, so therefore you have to still consider it in a Kli Rishon. The one leniency we had was by previously cooked items. Previously cooked items, if you have spices that you know are previously cooked, or salt, or water that had been previously cooked but cooled off, so then we say you're allowed to put that into a Dover Gush because it's only a Chumrah, so that would be allowed if it's a Dover Gush. In a Kli Sheni, we say for that you can consider it a Kli Sheni. We discussed putting ice cream on top of very hot chocolate cake, and we discussed some people on Machmir to have the chont, which is a Dover Gush, and the potatoes and the meat that is very hot, and then you put it next to a salad or coleslaw and it touches it, so that those that are Machmir to have a separate plate for that. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said it's not a problem because you didn't have any intention to do it. It just ruins the salad. I don't want my salad to get hot. And for a combination of reasons, he said, you don't have to worry about that. The ice cream case is different because that you purposely went and put it on top of the hot cake and you want the ice cream to get hot. It's kashmak like that. So therefore that, we said you have to be careful. If the hot chocolate cake is 110 degrees or more, then you should not put ice cream on top of it. We said that bought ice cream is usually previously cooked in the factory, so therefore you don't have to worry about it. Homemade ice cream is usually not previously cooked, and therefore you should not put homemade ice cream on top of a hot chocolate cake if it is really hot. A ladle, we said different ways you could be makel by a ladle. Does the ladle have a din of a Kli Sheni, and then therefore the bowl would be a Kli Shlishi or not? We said basically if it's just simply a ladle straight into the bowl, then you have to be machmir that the ladle is not considered a Kli Sheni. It's a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah. What seems to come out is that you have to consider your bowl a Kli Sheni unless it's in regards to afia achar bishel, or bishel achar afia, I should say. Therefore, as far as croutons, you don't have to worry about putting croutons in a bowl of soup because we say, oh, maybe it's a Kli Sheni and maybe the croutons are kali abishel. No, since the croutons, if they were previously baked, if they were baked in the factory, then we say that since it was previously baked, we are allowed to assume that the ladle has a din of a Kli Sheni, and then the bowl is already a Kli Shlishi, and therefore we would say you'd be allowed to put previously baked croutons into a bowl of soup, assuming that a ladle was used in between. But in the standard case, besides the crouton situation, spices and things like that, we do have to assume that it is like the bowl is like a Kli Sheni, because we don't assume the ladle is a Kli Sheni, the bowl is a Kli Sheni, and therefore we have to go to what we said before, that salt that was previously cooked, you are allowed to put in a Kli Sheni, but other spices that were not previously cooked, you would not be allowed to put into a Kli Sheni. Oh man. Okay. Fine. Other ways, as far as heating up food on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take something from the refrigerator and put it directly onto a fire on Shabbos. Even if it's fully cooked before, that's what we call nesina lechatchila, that looks as if you're cooking, you're taking it straight from the counter, straight from the refrigerator, and putting it directly on the fire. That is not allowed. What you have to do is, you have to put it on top of another pot. On top of another pot. So that's why we heat it up Shabbos morning. We put it on top of a crock pot that's on top of another pot. We said from the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, that the bottom pot has to have food in it. That's why putting it on top of a crock pot is a great example, because it has food. The crock pot, of course, has food inside of it. The Bir Halacha, which is the same person as the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, that has to be on top of a pot that has other food in it. I'm sorry?
Could be liquid.
Could be liquid, but it has to have some type of food in it. The way the Chazon Ish explains it is that the heat goes into the bottom food, and then the food heats up the top food. That's why it's permitted. Because that's weird. It doesn't look like you're cooking. No one would ever cook like that during the week. So therefore, that is allowed. We said from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that nowadays it's different, and our bottom pots don't have to have food in it. And that is why a lot of people rely on that. They put on the hot plate, they put an inverted cookie tray or upside down plate that is able to stand the heat. And therefore, even though the bottom pot doesn't have a 9x13 pan upside down, it doesn't have food in it, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that is allowed. There are plenty of people that do not go with this. I know Rabbi Sachs doesn't go with it. He goes with the Chazon Ish or with a simple reading of the Bir Halacha that says the bottom pot has to have food in it, and therefore he says that should not be done. But I know Rabbi Ribiad goes with this Psak of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and therefore if you want to rely on that, you would be relying on Rabbi Shlomo Zalman to have an upside down 9x13 pan on your crock pot. I'm talking about on your hot plate or something that's empty. I'm talking about all putting it there on Shabbos. Fine.
What about when the fire is not on?
If the fire is not on, then
no, there's a, like the front flame in the back. You put it in the back of the oven.
Right, so that we skipped in the review. If you put it on a place, right, okay, if you put it on a place where it will not get yatzal leathers, but you're allowed to put it on the blech like that. But if it's on a place on top of the fire, or even off, that it will still reach yatzal leathers, but then we say that's not allowed. Skip. Fine. Shehiyah, we discussed as far as the halachos of, now we're up to class number 5. Okay, shehiyah is placing food on a heating element, but shehiyah, shin hei yud yud hei, which means maintaining food on the flame, which means in English to place the food on a heating element before Shabbos and leaving it there into Shabbos. We all do this by our chont. We set it up on Friday and we leave it there into Shabbos and we eat it on Shabbos. Is this permitted or not? So we had a whole blackboard, we had a whole chart, those of you who remember, those of you who were here, and we said very, very, in a nutshell, that there's two opinions, the opinion of Chananya and the Rabbanon. Chananya said that once the food is Maichel Ben Jusoy, which you have to be strict and say that it's considered half-cooked, not a third-cooked, so when Maichel Ben Jusoy, if it's half-cooked, if the food was half-cooked or more when Shabbos started, Chananya says it's not a problem. You're allowed to do that. We're not afraid you're going to raise the flame. According to the Rabbanon, we said that that's not good enough. It has to be fully cooked, and it has to be what we call mitzdamek v'rale, which means that it has to be bad for the food to continue to be there, which most of our food is good to be continued to be there. So therefore, the Rabbanon would not let such a thing to put it directly on the fire before Shabbos, because we are afraid you're going to raise the flame. We said technically the halacha is according to Chananya, that's the meaning of the Olam, to rely on Chananya, but the Chafetz Chaim said that really we should try to be machmir and go with the Rabbanon's shita. Therefore, we discussed the halachas of Garuf Ukatum. Those of you who weren't here, Garuf means to either turn off the oven, or Katum means to cover the heating element. To cover the heating element means a blech, or Moshe Feinstein says a blech accomplishes covering the heating element. We said layers of silver foil in the crock pot. We discussed how many layers of silver foil you need in the crock pot. 2 or 3, 1 is not good enough unless it's heavy duty, 4 is not necessary, 2 or 3, and as far as the hot plate as well, as far as putting it there before Shabbos, preferably, we said as far as the hot plate, there are those that say you could put it directly on the hot plate before Shabbos, there are those that said that you shouldn't, preferably you should have that 9x13 inverted pan, that's even Kedera Gavik Tera, that for sure would be okay. Preferably you should have the knobs covered, we're not going to go into details as well, but Moshe Feinstein stressed very much that preferably the knobs should be covered, or Baron Cutler said the knobs are the only thing that's important, you should have the blechs, or some type of knob, some type of way to cover the knobs as well. But again, if you rely on Chananya, you're not a problem. You don't need Garfa Kotem. If you're relying on Chananya, once your food is half cooked or more before Shabbos, you're allowed to put it there before Shabbos. But again, we try to be machmer like the Rabbanon, and therefore you should not have that. As far as the ovens, we were discussing different types of ovens. I was discussing yesterday on the phone with somebody. Ovens generally are not considered Garfa Kotem. Especially the ovens that I'm told nowadays that they have heating elements all along the sides, so the heating element is not covered whatsoever, and therefore according to the Rabbanon you should not put food into your oven before Shabbos and leave the oven on into Shabbos. We are afraid that you may come to raise the flame. If you want to rely on Chananya, fine, you rely on Chananya, but that should preferably not be done. If you turn off the oven before Shabbos, you put the food there before Shabbos and you turn off the oven before Shabbos, then we said that's considered goruf. That's considered that you remove the coals, you turned off the oven, that would be allowed. You heat up your oven until it's very, very, very hot, you turn it off and then you put the food in, or you put the food in and then turn it off, then that's considered garuf. That would also be allowed. But as far as leaving the oven on into Shabbos, if it's half cooked or more, you have Hanani to rely on, but preferably you should go with the Rabbanon.
So what did you say? The oven is off, you can open and close the door, or you can't?
If it's off, then it seems like that would be allowed. One person told me that Rabbi Sachs said that would be allowed. It makes sense that would be allowed. Not that Rabbi Sachs needs my approval, but it would make sense that that's allowed. It's off. We have no suspicion you're going to turn on the oven. We don't say such suspicions. It's off. And even though when you close the oven, now the heat stays in, but you're not accelerating the cooking process at all. It's not on anymore. And that is should not be a problem. Fine. We're skipping the raw meat. Fine. Chazara. As far as the class number 6, as far as the halachos of taking off food from a heating element and returning to it on Shabbos, let's say you're taking chont Friday night or chicken soup Friday night, you want to put it back on the heating element. So we said that that is not allowed for different reasons. We said there are 5 conditions that you need to have to permit this, to take off food and take out from it and put it back on. So 5 conditions. The first 3 you always have to have, and that means that you have to have either garuf or katum, which the halachas we said before, that's another reason to line your crock pot with silver foil, even if you want to just go rely on Chananya. But if you want to take chon Friday night, you should have the silver foil over there, preferably. The second condition is it has to be fully cooked. The third condition was that it has to still be warm. The fourth and the fifth were a little bit more complicated. The fourth condition was that you have to be holding onto it at all times. You still have to be holding onto the pot or the soup pot or the cylinder. We said that if it's not on the floor, if you're holding it in the air, for sure that's okay. Let's say it's on the countertop. So we had said from Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv that it seemed from them that even if you would leave go on your countertop, it would still be okay. I looked it up again. It could be I misunderstood them. It could be even according to them, on the countertop, you would not be allowed to leave go totally. But either way, we said, we came out l'halacha that you should not, preferably you should not leave go on your countertop. But definitely you are allowed to rely on the fact if the food is on your countertop and you're still holding onto it, even though it's not in the air, but that will be allowed because on the counter or the table, that is much more lenient. So that is to accomplish condition number 4. You leave it on your countertop and still hold onto it. We said you could hold onto it with one hand. That's also not a problem. And the 5th condition was to have in mind that you're going to put it back. You have in mind that you're going to put it back. We discussed, let's say by mistake, you don't have conditions 4 and 5. Conditions number first, the first 3 conditions for sure you have to have. Conditions 4 and 5, we said, the Mishnah Berurah said, that if you're missing one of them, then if you need to, you're allowed to go ahead and put it back. If you forget to hold on to it, or if you forget to have in mind, so if you really need to, if it's just like one bowl of chont, you don't really need to put it back. One bowl of chont is not going to make it or break it, so therefore you shouldn't put it back. But if you need to, then you are allowed to put it back if you're missing one of the conditions. If you are missing both of the conditions, 4 and 5, then the Mishnah Berurah said that you're only allowed to put it back if you really, really need to. And that'll depend on what type of food it is, how much food, if you're having guests, if you have a kiddush anyways tomorrow, so maybe you don't need the chont so bad, I'll just eat by the kiddush. It is different situations what you really, really need to, but that's what we said as far as daita lachzira, and we were discussing certain situations if it was done against halacha, someone put it back, shalei kedin, then we said b'di'eved, you are allowed to eat the food. Class number 7 was hatmana. Hatmana means insulating the food, which means that you wrap the food around. We said there's 2 different types of hatmana. There's hatmana that adds heat to the food. Then there's another type of hatmana that doesn't add heat to the food. Ein amos of hevel. So we said basically the halacha was that any of the second type that doesn't add heat to the food, so you are allowed to do that before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. You're allowed to wrap up your chicken soup that's very, very hot. You're allowed to wrap it in a coat, in a towel, something like that from before Shabbos. But you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. We set some exceptions that you could do Ein HaMaisef Hevel on Shabbos if it's in Klisheni or if it got unwrapped, you're allowed to rewrap it. We'll skip that for now. As far as foods that are wrappings that are Maisef Hevel that add heat to it, those examples were not very common. The only example that was common was the following. We said you're not allowed, and Maisef Hevel you're not allowed to do even before Shabbos. So you're not allowed to wrap something in a Ein HaMaisef Hevel and put it on top of a heating element. Because that, we say, gets the halacha of a mosef hevel. So you are not allowed to wrap your chicken soup pot in a coat or a towel and put it on a hot plate. Because since the hot, that's plugged in. Because since the hot plate is plugged in, that's the heating element, it raises heat to the food. And since it's wrapped in a coat, wrapped in a towel, that is considered now a mosef hevel. You're not allowed to do that even from before Shabbos. Very important, we said food, schnitzel or challah that's wrapped in a silver foil, the place can tell us that that's not considered wrapped. That's a kli hamayuchad, like we said. Just same way a pot is not considered wrapping around the food. Therefore, that is not a problem. You're allowed to wrap food in a silver foil. Maybe to double wrap it and triple wrap it to add, to keep the heat in, that perhaps that's not allowed. But just to wrap it that the food doesn't get lost, it doesn't get dirty, that is not a problem. Therefore, Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv said that you're even allowed to wrap schnitzel in a silver foil and put it on top of a heating element. You're allowed to put it on top of a crock pot or a hot plate if you take care of the nesina lechatchila and you have the upside down trays and anything like that. If you have some type of heating element, you're allowed to put silver foil around the schnitzel and then put it on top of that. We said, or Moshe Feinstein seems to say that it's not allowed, but we came out that you should be allowed to rely on Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv, that I always say if you have a cooler from Rabbi Yashiv, you could go with it, that would be allowed. One last thing we discussed was the rocks in the crock pot. We discussed as far as the crock pot, we showed the crock pot that it's inside and it's the pot around the food itself, that's not a problem. That's the kli hamayuchla. But then it's put into another pot. So the problem is, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv say that could be a problem of hatmana because it's surrounded. So therefore, they say that Rabbi Yashiv said you should put the rocks in. We said the rocks only help if it raises it high enough that now less than 50% of the cylinder is surrounded. So you got to raise it very, very high. I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday. Talking to her about a lot of things, and it's really not so practical to have your rocks or the silver foil balls to raise it so high. That's what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says. That has to be raised so high because if something is 51% covered, we assume that that makes a rubik kakuloi, that it's as if it's totally covered. So if it's 51% surrounded, then it's not allowed. It would have to be pretty high. Okay, you know, so fine, if you want to try to do that, you know, that'll be okay. If you consider the bottom part and the top part and then some of the sides, maybe you'd get 51%. The way Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said to do it was you have lots of silver foil sticking out. So therefore, there's a separation between the inside, the heating element, and the pot, and the cylinder. Therefore, there's a big separation and it's sticking out. So it's very recognizable. So you have all the silver foil sticking out. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says that's allowed, including if the food is fully cooked when Shabbos started. So a lot of times the chont is fully cooked before. It could get more geschmack if it stays later, if it stays longer, but the food is fully cooked before. Therefore, you could include another opinion that says there's no problem about tomorrow if it's fully cooked, even though we don't paskin like that, but you'll add that to the mix, and therefore that will be allowed. And we said that Moshe Feinstein says you don't need any of this. He says, since the top of the crock pot is not covered, right, it has the lid, but that's not considered hatamana because that's a kli hamayuchla, of course. He said, Ramosh Vine says it has to be 100% totally covered, and those crockpots, of course, are not totally 100% covered. So Ramosh Vine says you don't need any of this. So therefore, if you want to go with that, I guess you can. The best would be, I think, to go with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman to have the silver foil sticking out, and therefore you for sure have Rav Moshe, and you would also have Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. That was amazing. In 45 minutes, I skipped a lot of things, and if I didn't clarify anything, definitely please ask me. As far as I know, I didn't get into so much as far as to the review before Shabbos and on Shabbos, the ovens on and off. If I wasn't clear in regards to that, please ask, but we went through everything during classes. You'll let me know as far as next week, if this year, and as far as what the next topic would be. Okay.